You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
I just want to first praise this group that Curtis had brought this up. And, you know, we address several issues that are points of contention in the global church, in the local church, and especially in the United States. And we sort of covered them all, and we did so graciously. We did so by listening and understanding, and I would hope that that would be the conversation the church worldwide could have. So, Lord, speed the day that that would happen. But also a shout-out to, I know there are churches who are courageously in and adamantly in disagreement and courageously having conversations like these. So may the Lord continue to increase in their number. That's one thing. The second thing I want to say is we were just talking about how we kind of go through the Bible and the way that brings up these perspectives. And one thing I just want to encourage our listeners and all of you here is that I was listening to the Bible the other day. I've now listened to about two or three books of the Bible. And I got to say how much I thoroughly enjoy it. Number one, because you can pick some fun voices that are reading it. But number two, because you get, there are stories. And for instance, I was listening to the Rebecca and Isaac story. And they repeat what's going to happen four times. And when you're reading it, it gets tedious because you're like, oh my gosh. It's not, when you're reading, you're not meant to read things four times like that because it does get tedious. But when you're hearing it, it's really good because you pick up different things, you get a rhythm, and then it reminds you, oh, this is an oral culture. This is the best way to remember the story. And then that's where it's interesting. We call it the Rebecca and Isaac story, but it's really a story about God's faithfulness that the servant is witness to in Rebecca and Isaac's encounter. And you only get that because you hear it four times, right? That is, it's emphasizing those are the most important things. So anyway, if you get a chance, download, an audio Bible of some kind or go on YouTube. They're free. And listen to the Bible. Listen to a letter to the Corinthians, you know, first letter to the Corinthians in our Bible. And I think you'll get something different out of it. So that's great.
So the thing that struck me tonight was once again, context, 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 context. And it was very interesting to hear the juxtaposition of Paul writing to this group of people in Corinth, which, as we discovered, a kind of a materialistic society, a society that prided itself on wealth and affluence and very much a libertine kind of philosophy, compared to the Galatian letter, where you know, you're dealing more with people who are very limited in their views of what's allowable and not. And you know, by kind of having those two back-to-back, you start to get a kind of a richer and fuller understanding that, you know, you can't use a cookie cutter to your theology or your rules for living. You really have to use wisdom, and you have to understand exactly what it is that God's calling us to do, which I would argue a lot of times is to be countercultural. In whatever, you know, wherever you find yourself, you may have to question, is this thing that just happens to be in the air that we breathe, whether it's materialism, whether it's authoritarianism, whether it's a free lifestyle of no consequences or whatever, should you be questioning that and seeing how that lines up with the Kingdom of God philosophy?
And when we see the struggle of that great city of Corinth, right? It's metropolis. It's a lot of different cultures interacting. It's got a significant market and trade. So you're seeing, a drive like, we talked about it being like New York City or Las Vegas or a combination thereof. And I think Paul's describing, what I've heard, I think well said, is Paul's describing a culture that is promiscuous with their bodies, and not promiscuous with their money. And he's trying to get them to be promiscuous with their money and prudish with their bodies, right? So, he's talking about sharing resources and don't hold back. But wait a minute, your bodies, you need to take care of them. And so it's a very interesting contrast to think of it that way.
I think one of the things I found so interesting is that
when you read these things, we're like, well, why would Paul have to address that? Like, who would want to, like, you know, buy and sell prostitutes? But the people in Corinth, when it's explained, is that was their culture. They were raised in a culture that that was part of their life. Just like, you know, going to the store to pick up a gallon of milk was just as simple as going to the temple and picking up whatever you needed for everything in your life. So when we understand that this was how they were raised, it was culturally acceptable, and now after Jesus is passing and Paul is trying to get them to understand that there's a different way, and stop, you know, leaning towards your fleshly desires, your worldly desires, and start leaning towards the spiritual side. And I just can't imagine that battle he faced when you're coming into a community where, you know, it'd be simple to explain it to some people who live on the East Coast. Like, we go to the shore for the weekend. We go to the beach for the weekend. Like, hey, well, you can't go to the beach anymore. It would be like saying, it's what you've always done your whole life, but now you shouldn't go there. That's kind of how I tried to relate it to something in my life that I've always done, that I was raised in, that, well, no, don't do that anymore. And trying to relearn something that you have been taught your whole life isn't really the right way. It's probably very hard. And you're still living in that town where everybody else is still doing it, but you're trying not to. And Paul's trying to teach them. And, you know, he talks about they're not spiritually grown up yet. So he has to give them just the milk right now. He can't give them the spiritual food. He has to just give them the God loves you, God can forgive you, God can save you. He can't give them that deep stuff yet because they're not ready. And I just can't imagine that struggle trying to teach and share with people in Corinth who are like, I was taught this home my whole life. Now you're going to tell me my mom and dad were wrong? Like, I can't imagine the battles that Paul would have faced. Maybe he wasn't getting stoned to death and run out of town, but he probably got some pretty big arguments. Like, dude, you can't be telling me my mom and dad taught me wrong my whole life. So it's just very interesting when you're here and you get to see that. And like Pastor Edwin and Curtis said, we discussed some really heavy issues that churches may struggle with, like, can you divorce? Can you remarry? When is it okay to divorce? You know, what is good? What is bad? What do these scriptures mean when they say, you know, all these things about sexual immorality? What is that? And yet, it was a peaceful, calm discussion, and a lot of good things came out of it. A lot of learning and understanding I was able to obtain from it. And, you know, that's what I really like about coming here and sharing amongst everyone. And I think the best thing that I learned today was funny things your pastor says in Bible study. So one image we got was this beautiful place in Dubai where they build these buildings and these skyscrapers like 190 stories high. And early in the morning, these low-laying clouds come. So if you're on the top floors, you can look out and you almost feel like you're living in the clouds. And we were talking about this, and then we started talking about the Bible again. And Pastor's like, well, I know the Bible is important and all, but let's get back to the building. And he starts talking about the beauty of the building and the clouds. And how high are they? I was like, that is so great. So see, if you want to hear your pastor be funny or my pastor be funny, just come and join us.
I was actually secretly inspired by Psalm 121. I would look up to the hills.
Yes.
From whence coming my help? It comes from, what is it, Burj
Khalifa.
There we go.
Yeah.
Who did not sponsor this Bible study, by the way. But if they would like to, we can be reached at.
That's funny. I'm glad I kind of get to go a little bit last because it gave me time to think because there's so much. So one of the things we spoke about earlier on in today's Bible study was like the wisdom of man versus his godly wisdom. And I feel like today's Bible study is a good example of like the difference in that I feel like the wisdom of man is just self-seeking. So, you know, getting what I want, doing what I want, condemning, making my point at all costs. I really don't care. Like, I only listen to people just or pretend like I'm listening until it's time for me to speak. But I feel like the wisdom of God really is more so about how we handle things, right? So it's not about making your point of being right or wrong. And I honestly feel like maybe that's why God allows denominations now. It's like because it's not about who's right or wrong, but how we interact and deal with each other, right? And how we still showcase Christ to the world. Mm. And so I feel like today being able to talk about, you know, different topics or whatnot, was a good illustration of that. Like, you know, like, none of us pretend to be like oracles. That's the wisdom of the world. I'm an oracle. I know all these things. This is what it is. You know, if you don't get it, then you're reprobate or whatever. And I'm glad that I'm a part of a Bible study where we can talk about things and we can illustrate it. And, yeah. So.
We, interestingly, to that point, Curtis, we had talked about, like, world wisdom might be, you know, every man for himself, or life's not fair, or at the end of the day, you know, the point of life is, you know, fill in the blank, you know. And so we have these little wisdoms. And what's interesting to me about them is, on the one hand, they can be incredibly self-centered, to your point. They can be destructive patterns that, you know, of how we live. And they're not, they attempt to be all-knowing about something they don't all know about, right? And but at the same time, what's interesting is they allude to this kind of longing that we have for God. Like, so for instance, life isn't fair. You know, deep down inside, we want life to be fair. And I think God would agree, yeah, life isn't fair. And in fact, you're a part of the problem, right? Like, it's like you're a part of why it's not fair in many ways. But it also speaks to either if there isn't a God, or if God's just the kind of uninterested, then the claim life isn't fair has no standard by which to measure it against, right? So life isn't, you know, fair by whose standard, right? And so in some other ways, even the world's wisdom, even there, it's not its own wisdom. It's still derived, I think, from something out there that it gets a sense like, things should be right and fair, and things aren't fair, so it must mean that life isn't fair, and that's somewhere out there, as opposed to I'm a part of the problem. And I think God's wisdom shows us, actually, you're a part of it. You're an agent in there, and part of our call to be transformed, as Paul would say, like the transforming of our mind, is getting out of those destructive narratives that lead to those destructive behaviors that then destroy the communities and relationships around us. So, you know, rather than focusing on, you know, life isn't fair, you got to get yours, you know, take what you can, you know, steal taxes, don't release your tax return, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to make political statements there, but I think that's a really great call to follow God's wisdom and not simply our own.
Another thing I'd like to share is the man who doesn't want to be named, filmed, recorded, and all that stuff.
Please, let's just call him Alan.
Yeah, I think that's the name we've given him. Alan. He was explaining that as Paul was kind of teaching and writing these letters, he kind of, you know, probably was following a structure something like this. It was faith, love, and hope. Faith being the past, love being the present, hope being the future. Faith being the justification, love being the sanctification, hope being the glorification. Faith being the liberation of the heart, love being the transformation of the mind, and hope being the perfection of the body. And I think that's really good when you have that kind of guide, and when you look at some of the things that Paul would teach and share to the different churches, it does kind of follow along that kind of little guideline or path or whatever you would say. But if you come to Think and Drink, you would actually get to see this character we keep talking about each week.
Exactly. So you are invited every Wednesday at 5:05 p.m. to 900 North Orange Street, Bull Bay Restaurant, right in downtown Wilmington. Parking is available on the streets and also at Grace Church at 900 North Washington Street. So join us next time, where you might meet the man or person. I mean, we're not going to reveal anything about them, who we name Alan. And in fact, I think it is innovative. I just want to point out about the way he structured Paul's letters through the lens of faith, love, and hope. I've actually never seen that before, so that's saying something. So that's very good. So if you want to hear more, learn more about some innovative theology, and whether it's heretical or not, come on out to the 5:05 Think and Drink Bible study. But we know it will bless your mind, body, and spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook, just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.